نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqeed al-Tahawiyya, the creed compiled by Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we had the final part of al-Shafa'ah, where we had the different types of intercession. Before that, we had something which there was a piece of homework for whoever remembers, which was remaining from, which was with regard to the Hawd, the lake. The question arose, what is the evidence that the water of the Hawd, the great lake, what is the evidence that the water of it will be sweeter than honey? Now, did anybody find any evidence? Or did we forget again?
The hadith itself, the Prophet said it'd be whiter than and sweeter than.
Hadith where?
So in the hadith itself.
It needs a source. Did anybody get the wording? Here. We mentioned briefly that, as the brother mentioned, the hadith does occur in At-Tirmidhi. Actually, a hadith not only occurs in At-Tirmidhi, it occurs in Sahih Muslim. For those of you who checked in Sahih Muslim and didn't find it, then it occurs in Sahih Muslim. So Muslim reports in the Book of Virtues, Fada'il, from a hadith of Thawban, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will be at the drinking place of my hold, pushing people back for the people of Yemen. I mean, for the people of Yemen to drink first. Striking with my staff until they are allowed to drink freely. Then he was asked about its width. So he said, from my standing place to Amman. And he was asked about its drink. So he said, Ashaddu bayadan min al-laban wa ahla min al-asal. That it will be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Two channels will continually flow into it from paradise. One of them made of gold and the other made of silver. And likewise, it's also reported in a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, again reported by Muslim, but in the Book of Purification. With the wording that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my hawd, my lake, is greater in distance than Eilat to Aden. And it is whiter than snow, whiter than snow, and sweeter than honey in milk. And its drinking vessels are more than the stars of the sky. Or rather, he said, more than the number of the stars. And I will push people away from it, just as a man pushes the camels of the rest of the people away from his drinking place. They said, O Messenger of Allah, will you recognize us on that day? He said, yes. You will have distinguishing marks, which no other nation have. You will come to me with white blazes, marks on your arms and foreheads, from the traces of wudu. So the evidence is two hadith reported by Muslim. And after that, then with regard to what we had last week, the different types of intercession, then firstly we had that there are three types of intercession particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who can remember the first of them? The first type of intercession particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who can remember? The greater intercession, meaning? The first one being the greater intercession for the judgment to be carried out, where the people will go because in the severe heat in the gathering place, and they'll go for the judgment to be begun so they can escape the great heat, have the judgment carried out and escape the heat and the crush and the terror of that day. So they'll go to the different prophets, to Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam and Musa and Isa, and finally to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who can remember the second type of intercession, which also is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For what to happen? Yeah, for them, but what to something to happen? Yeah. The second is for the people of paradise to enter paradise, meaning for the gate of paradise to be opened, that when the people cross over the they've crossed over the bridge and they've crossed over the Qantara, then when they get to the gate of paradise, it will not be open. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have to intercede that it should be opened for them and that they be entered into paradise. Who can remember then the third type of intercession particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
The people who enter paradise and their levels are raised.
Particular. The answer is right, but we're just speaking that which is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the third being the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his uncle Abu Talib, who died as an unbeliever. So it's particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to one unbeliever only, which is Abu Talib. Not that he can be taken out of the fire, that he will remain in the fire, but his punishment is reduced so that he receives a lighter punishment. Then we had the rest of the types of intercession. Who can remember any of the other types, the remaining five types of intercession? For those people of Tawheed who committed major sins and entered therefore into the fire, that would be taken out of the fire. Another one?
Martyrs would intercede for the martyrs, the shuhada would intercede for them.
For who? For the people. That's with regard to who intercedes, or we want with regard to ones who they intercede for.
The martyrs would intercede for.
Inshallah.
Come on. 70 people,
yeah? Which people?
Which one? People to hate?
All these people to hate, except for Abu Talib.
He was the committed medicine.
Yeah. 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 The one that goes along with the one we just had, those people of Tawheed who fell into committing major sins and were guilty of major sins and deserve to enter into hellfire, they deserved it, but intercession that they don't go into it, that they be kept out of it. And that is another type. Your one. And that's your turn. Yeah. Yes, the brother said, the intercession that the people of paradise should be raised to higher ranks than they deserve. They should be given a higher rank than they actually deserve in paradise. That leaves us with two categories. No. The people of Al-A'raf, the people of the heights, those people whose good and bad deeds were equal, such that their good deeds are prevention from them entering into the fire, and their evil deeds are a prevention of them entering straight into paradise. And as Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, that eventually they will be entered into paradise. And the eighth and last category then that we had, from the category Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned in his explanation of al-Wasitiyah, and likewise mentioned here by Ibn Abdul Izz, the last of the eight categories was the intercession for believers, 70,000 of them, to enter into paradise without any reckoning. Without any reckoning upon them. Then these were the categories that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned in Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, in his explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, and likewise Ibn Abil Izz mentioned in his explanation of Al-Tahawiyyah. Just as a final point here, that as for Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, then he categorized in his notes to Al-Wasitiyah, Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he categorized the different types of intercession into six categories. The first three being the same as what we heard, and the two levels with regard to the people of Tawheed, those who entered the fire, they should be taken out, and those who haven't entered the fire, that they shouldn't be entered into it. And likewise, for the ranks of the people of paradise to be raised higher. And he doesn't mention the category of those people whose good and bad deeds are equal, the people of the heights. He doesn't mention that amongst the categories of intercession. And likewise, he doesn't mention the intercession for 70,000 people to enter paradise without reckoning. In other words, he doesn't include these amongst types of intercession. So just to quickly run through what Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, what he said, and this is on his notes to Tanbihat al-Latifah, As-Sa'di's notes to Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, then Shaykh bin Baz, in his footnotes to that, rahimahullah, he said, the intercessions which will occur on the day of resurrection are six intercessions which are well known from the legislated evidences. From them are three intercessions particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are, firstly, Ash-Shafa'at al-Uzma, the greater intercession with regard to the people upon the standing place, so that judgment is carried out between them, or the judgment is carried out upon them. Secondly, the intercession with regard to the people of paradise, for them to enter it. And thirdly, his sallallahu alaihi wasallam interceding for the punishment to be reduced for his uncle Abu Talib, so that he is placed in a shallow part of the fire. And this intercession is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to Abu Talib, his uncle. And as for the rest of the unbelievers, then there will be no intercession with regard to them, in accordance with the saying of Allah the Most High, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّفِعِينَ. with the explanation, the intercession of those who intercede will not benefit them. Then he said, in the fourth and fifth categories is his interceding with regard to those who deserve the fire, that they should not enter it, and with regard to those who entered it, that they should be taken out from it. And he said, and the sixth is his interceding for the raising of the ranks of the people of paradise. And this last intercession is general to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to others besides him from the prophets and the righteous and the angels. And the young, I mean the children of the Muslims who die young. And all of them are particular to the people of Tawheed. Everything except what was mentioned about Abu Talib. Every other part of intercession is for the people of Tawheed only. And as for the unbelievers, then they will remain forever in the fire of hell. They will not taste death in it. Just as he, the Perfect and Most High, said, لَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ فَيَمُوتُوا. They will not be put to an end and caused to die, and the like of it from ayahs. Then he said, but whoever enters it from the disobedient people of Tawheed, then he will not remain forever in it. Rather, he will be taken out from it after being cleansed and purified. And it is established in the Sahih, in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, Hadith number 22, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the disobedient ones will die in the fire. I mean, the people of Tawheed who committed major sins and are entered into the fire, they will die in the fire. Then they will be taken out from it, having become like charcoal. And then they will spring there, I mean they'll be placed, as the hadith mentions, in a spring at the gate of paradise. And they'll be placed in a river and they'll spring and sprout and come back to life there. Then with regard to this week, then Shaykh al-Fawzan, or rather al-Tahawi, he moves on to something else. And he brings the point here that's numbered as point number 85 here. وَالْمِيثَاقُ الَّذِي أَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ آدَمَ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِ حَقٌّ. And the covenant, the mithaq, the covenant or the agreement, and the covenant which Allah the Most High took from Adam and his descendants is true. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, the mithaq, the covenant which Allah the Most High took from Adam and his descendants, that they would worship him and not associate anything in worship along with him. This is true. Then he gives evidence for it, or he indicates evidence for this, and says, just as occurs in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that Allah extracted the descendants of Adam from his back, and they were like tiny red ants. And he caused them to witness upon themselves to his unity. And he took their mithaq, he took their covenant, that they would worship him and not associate anything in worship along with him. they mention an evidence for this, and they mention the hadith in a footnote, which is the evidence for this. They said from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إن الله أخذ الميثاق من ظهر آدم عليه السلام بنعمان يعني عرفة فأخرج من صلبه كل ذرية ذرأها فنثرها بين يديه ثم كلمهم قبلا قال ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا إلى قوله المبطلون. From Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, Allah took the covenant, the mithaq, from the back of Adam alayhi salam at Na'man, at this place, Na'man, meaning Arafah, the well-known place, Arafah. So he took out from his backbone every one of his descendants who were going to be produced. Or rather, he took out every one of his descendants whom he was going to produce and spread them out in front of him. Then he spoke to them and said, Am I not your Lord? So they said, Yes, indeed, we bear witness. The ayahs until al-mubtilun, those who called upon other than Allah. The ayahs from Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh surah, ayahs 172 to 173. And as they mention here, this hadith is reported by Ahmad and Al-Hakim, and he declared it authentic, and Al-Dhahabi agreed, and Al-Haythami said its narrators are those of the Sahih, and it was declared, its chain of narration was declared authentic by Sheikh Ahmad Shakir in his checking of the Musnad, and the hadith was declared Sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani in As-Sahihah. Number 1623. So then, back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah said, having just said, he finished off here by saying, that Allah extracted the descendants of Adam from his back. They were like tiny ants. And he caused them to bear witness upon themselves to his unity. And he took their covenant that they would worship him and not associate anything along with him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, So we have iman in this. We have true faith in this. Then he said, however, this agreement and covenant is not sufficient. It's not sufficient in itself. He said, this agreement or this covenant is not sufficient. Rather, it was essential, along with it, to send the messengers. So therefore, Allah sent the messengers. In other words, the question is, was this covenant a sufficient proof upon the people that on Yawm al-Qiyamah they can come, and this would have been sufficient proof against them? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this covenant and agreement in itself was not sufficient upon them. Rather, it was essential along with it to send the messengers. So therefore, Allah indeed did send the messengers to the people as well. Then he said, and if this had been sufficient alone, then Allah would not have sent the messengers. However, He sent the messengers in order to remind by means of them and to call the people to what is contained in it. In other words, Allah sent the messengers to the people to remind them of that covenant they already made before. To call them to it, to remind them of it, and to call them to what was contained in it. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, and as for his saying, He, the Most High, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 172. As for the saying of Allah the Most High, the same ayah that occurred at the end of the hadith that we heard, He said, as for the saying of Allah the Most High, Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 172, with the explanation, and remember when your Lord took out from the descendants of Adam their offspring. He said, some of the people of Tafsir, some of the explainers of the Quran, they hold that this refers to the agreement and the covenant which Allah took from the descendants of Adam. In other words, some people hold that this ayah here is referring to exactly what was mentioned at the start here. He said, but that is not the case. That is not the case. Rather, it is something else. And Allah says, He mentions a part of this ayah, مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ from their backs. And He did not say, مِنْ ظَهْرِ آدَمْ in this ayah here, He did not say, from the back of Adam. Rather, He mentioned the descendants being taken out from their backs, there in the plural, the descendants of Adam being taken out from there in the plural backs. He didn't say out from the back of Adam. So Shaykh is saying these are two different things being referred to here. And he said, and the completion of the ayah is وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ And he said in the completion of this ayah, and He caused them to witness upon themselves, Am I not your Lord? So they said, Yes, indeed. Then the Shaykh said, and some of the scholars say the meaning of this is the fitrah, the inborn nature which Allah created them upon. I mean, some of the people, some of the scholars say what this ayah is referring to here, this ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, they say it's referring to the inborn nature which Allah placed the people upon. And the creational signs, or the signs within the creation, which Allah set up. So that from them, they should know and be aware of their Lord. Allahu A'lam. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan is saying there are some people of tafsir, and the reality is, as we'll see, that there are two groups of the people, two groups of the scholars, with regard to the meaning of this ayah. As the Shaykh himself indicated, some of them hold that this ayah refers to what was mentioned at the beginning, the covenant taken from Adam and his descendants, and was mentioned in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Some say this ayah refers to the same thing. Other explainers say no, it's something different here. What this ayah in Surah Al-A'raf is referring to is the inborn nature which Allah has put in the people. It doesn't refer to the incident of Allah taking people's, the descendants of Adam, taking their souls out of his back and asking them to bear witness. It doesn't refer to that. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he's saying, I've been just said that some scholars say it refers, this ayah refers to the inborn nature upon which Allah has created the people, and to the signs which Allah has set up in the creation, so that they should know and be aware of their Lord. Then he carries on and said, so Allah the Perfect created them upon the nature of Tawheed and upon Islam. And that is the fitrah, that is the nature which Allah created the people upon. Tawheed and Islam. In a footnote they mention an evidence for this. So from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ كَمَا تُنْتَجُ الْبَهِيمَةُ بَهِيمَةً جَمْعًا هَلْ تُحِسُّونَ فِيهَا مِن جَدْعًا. From Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no child who is born except that he is born upon the fitrah, upon the natural way of Islam. And then his parents turn him into a Jew or a Christian or a Magian. It is just like when an animal gives birth to a baby animal. Do you find it mutilated? And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu an recited the ayah, Fitratullahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha, the ayah. Surah Ar-Rum, ayah 30. The natural way upon which Allah created the people. I mean, that is the natural way upon which Allah created the people. This hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an is reported by Al-Bukhari. That's hadith 1358. So then Shaykh al-Fawzan continues, having just said, so Allah the Perfect created them upon the fitrah, created the people upon the natural way of Tawheed and Islam. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Same ayah that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu quoted, with the explanation, and set your face straight upon the religion. Turning away from shirk, which is the inborn way upon which Allah created all of the people. Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th surah, ayah 30. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, that natural inborn way upon which Allah created the people, it is the religion of Islam and the religion of Tawheed. So Islam means the Tawheed which the messengers came with. And that means, Islam means worshipping Allah alone, and Tawheed, which is the religion of Islam, which the messengers came with, Tawheed is worshipping Allah alone and associating no partner with Him. And that is the straight and true religion. So in other words, Sheikh is saying that some of the people of knowledge, they say this ayah here, it refers to Allah having placed in people's inborn nature the natural way of Tawheed, being of Tawheed and Islam. That was placed in their nature. And that's what this ayah refers to. Then he said, yet along with this, Allah didn't suffice just with that. He put in people's nature, he put Tawheed, the inclination towards Tawheed, and he put in Islam. He didn't just suffice with putting that in their nature. He said, along with this, he set up evidences proving his lordship from that which they witness in themselves with regard to the amazing way in which they have been created. Allah gave them signs as well in their very creation. And in the amazing signs which are a proof for the Creator, He the Perfect and Most High. So that's something which Allah did, that He placed in the people, He placed signs for them, in themselves and in their creation. Signs that He alone is the Creator. Then He said, and likewise, He set up for them, in front of them, in the heavens and the earth and in the created beings, that which is a proof for the Creator. For indeed, these created things must have a Creator. They could not have just appeared or come about without a Creator. So that's something else that Allah has set up as an evidence for the people. Themselves, the great signs in their own creation, and the creation around them as well. Evidences for them, pointing towards the Creator. And he quotes an evidence, saying, I mean, just said, proving that these things could not have just appeared, could not have come about without a Creator. Then he quotes the ayah, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Surah At-Tur, the 52nd surah, ayahs 35 and 36. With the explanation, is it that they were created by nothing? Or are they the ones who created? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? No, they do not have certainty. And with regard to these ayahs, then the great Mufassir, Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, he points out the way in which these ayahs are an evidence in his tafsir, and he said, this is an extra point, Sheikh al-Sa'adi said, about these ayahs, these two ayahs, ayahs 35 and 36 from Surah At-Tur, he said, this is evidence upon them, using an affair which is not possible for them, me those who deny Allah. It's an evidence upon them, using an affair which does not enable them to do anything except to submit to the truth, or to depart from what is necessitated by the intellect and the religion. An explanation of that is to say that those people who deny Allah's sole right to worship and who deny His Messenger, that this necessitates their denying that Allah created them. And it is confirmed in the intellect, along with the legislation, that the affair cannot escape one of three affairs. I mean, everything, the creation, it can only be one of three things. Either they were created by nothing. I mean, they had no creator who created them. Rather, they came about not having been brought into existence, and having nothing that brought them into existence. They just came about, and nothing made them come about. Nothing created them, brought them into existence. This is something impossible. Or they are the creators of themselves. They created themselves then. And this is also impossible, because it cannot be imagined that something has produced itself. So when these two affairs are nullified and are clearly impossible, then the third matter becomes certain. That it is Allah who created them. And when that becomes certain, then it becomes known that Allah the Most High, He is therefore the one who alone deserves to be worshipped. In other words, when it's confirmed that Allah is the only one who created, He's the only one who created them, then it's known that He is the only one who deserves their worship. And that He is the one for whom worship is right and befitting. And it's not right or befitting for anyone besides Him. He, the Most High. Then back to what Sheikh Fawzan said. He said, and he quotes a couple of lines of poetry in the same regard. فَيَا عَجَبًا كَيْفَ يُعْصَى الْإِلَهُ أَمْ كَيْفَ يَجْحَدُهُ الْجَاحِدُ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةُ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدُ. With the explanation, so how amazing! How can the one deserving of all worship be disobeyed? Or how can the obstinate denier deny him, when every single thing contains an evidence for him, proving that he is one? Sheikh Fawzan said, so everything in front of you proves the unity of Allah and bears witness that He is alone in having created all these created things. He mentions the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, ayah 73, with the explanation that those things which you call upon besides Allah could never create a fly, even if they gathered together to do it. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so the Creator, Al-Khaliq, the Creator is Allah, the Perfect. No one creates along with Him. So therefore, I mean, this being established, so therefore, how can something else besides Him be worshipped from those things which do not create and do not provide provision and do not possess the ability to bring benefit for themselves, no harm? In other words, the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, having been established, this leads automatically to affirmation of Allah's sole right to worship. That because He is the sole creator, therefore, He is the sole one who deserves all worship. Nothing else from what is worshipped creates anything. Then he said, so the meaning of the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ, Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 172. The witnessing of this ayah, he said, this ayah refers to the witness of the correct inborn nature and the witness of the created beings to the unity of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And it is not, or there is no possibility for anyone to have an excuse on the day of resurrection and therefore say, Inna kunna an hadha ghafilin. Surah Al-A'raf, the same ayah, 172. Because of this, no one can come on the day of resurrection and say, we were unaware of this. Sheikh said, no, it's been put in your very nature. It's been put in your nature. And the Sheikh said, so using blind following of others is not correct in the face of decisive proofs and clear evidences. In other words, on the day of resurrection, it won't be correct either for someone to say that he committed shirk, he worshipped others besides Allah, because he found his forefathers doing so, and that was an evidence for him. No. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends the explanation of this particular point. And just finally, as we saw, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he takes the view of those who explain this ayah to refer to the inborn nature that Allah has placed in the people. The witness of the inborn nature that Allah has placed in the people. And that it doesn't refer to the taking out of the souls of the descendants of Adam from him and their being verbally asked to bear witness. As he indicated, there are some people who held that. In that regard, then Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he was one of those people who held the other view, who held the view that the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf and the hadith and this mithaq, it's one and the same thing. It refers to one and the same thing. And Shaykh al-Albani refutes those who disagree with that. And you'll find it in As-Sahiha, volume 4, pages 161 to 162 and thereabouts, under hadith 1623. And part of what he mentions, I'll just quote a part, he says, Ibn al-Anbari said, the position of the people of hadith and the major ones from the people of knowledge hold that this ayah, hold with regard to this ayah, I mean the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, they hold that it means that Allah took out the descendants of Adam from his back and then from the backs of his descendants. I mean, they took Adam, from Adam alayhi salam, they took his descendant, his direct descendants, and from their descendants they took theirs, and so on. Each one was extracted, generation by generation was extracted and placed in front of him. And they were in the form of little ants. And then he took from them the covenant, the mithaq, that he is their creator, and that they are created beings. So they bore witness to that and accepted it. And this was after intellect had been given to them, which enabled them to understand what was presented to them. Just as happened to the mountain when it was addressed, that intellect was given to it. And the camel when it prostrated. And the palm tree when it was heard. He gives some examples. Then he quotes, just as he, Ibn al-Anbari, quoted from Ishaq ibn Rahuwai, from the great Imam Ishaq ibn Rahuwai, that he said, the people of knowledge were agreed that Allah created the souls before the bodies, and that he caused them to speak and bear witness. And then Shaykh al-Albani goes on to explain that there's no contradiction between this ayah from Surah Al-A'raf and between the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and there's no reason that we should take it to be anything except what's apparent from it, that it refers to Allah extracting the descendants of Adam from his back and causing them to bear witness to this covenant. And likewise was also mentioned by Al-Hafidh Al-Hakami in Ma'arij Al-Qabool. Ma'arij Al-Qabool, he mentioned the same thing as well, that there's no contradiction between these two. And Al-Hafidh Al-Hakami mentions that the covenants are actually three covenants. And he mentions the first covenant being when the people were taken from the back of Adam, that they bore witness to Allah's unity, and to the fact that none has the right to be worshipped besides him. Then the second covenant that he mentions is the fitrah, as was referred to in the ayah from Surah Ar-Rum. That's the second covenant. And then the third covenant is what the messengers came with. On top of that Allah sent the messengers, ordering the people and commanding the people to worship Allah alone. And that third one is what establishes Allah's proof upon the creation. The first two are not sufficient in themselves to establish the proof upon the creation, which is why Allah sent the messengers as a final, is to establish the proof. And then Al-Hafidh Al-Hakimi said, so all of these, there's no contradiction between any of these, rather they're all confirmed by the book and the sunnah. And he mentioned, and as for the saying that this ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, it refers to the covenant and taking the people's witness, the descendants of Adam were taken from his back and bore witness, then he said that was the saying of the great majority of the people of Tafsir. Rahimahumullah. Wallahu a'lam. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification?
The translation of the hadith with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the progenies of Adam salam to bear witness. Yes, as I remember, it was in the form of a soul, a light. Right now we mentioned in the form of ants.
Yeah, ants.
So that means we have soul and body together somehow.
Now, as Sheikh Albani quotes from Ibn al-Anbari, quotes from the great Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, that this is an evidence that Allah created the souls before their bodies came about. Allah created the souls first. Obviously, one of the points that Sheikh al-Fawzan and some of the scholars before Sheikh al-Fawzan as well, he uses to say that this ayah from Surah al-A'raf is not referring to the same incident. He said because in this ayah, as we just heard, Allah mentions min dhuhurihim, he took out from their backs, from the descendants of Adam, he took out their descendants in the plural. Whereas if it's as these people, other people said, it would be in the singular, referring from the back of Adam, all his descendants were taken out. And they quote the other parts of the ayah being the plural as well. They said likewise when it says min bani Adam, were taken out from the descendants of Adam. And it didn't say from Adam himself. I mean, their descendants were taken out from the children of Adam. And he said, likewise, it mentions ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, their offspring. It didn't say his offspring, it said their offspring. So it's all in the plural. So this is a different incident to the taking out of the descendants of Adam from his back. That's what Sheikh al-Fawzan held and some scholars before him. Some of the others, they respond to that by saying what it means is that from Adam alayhi salam, his direct descendants were taken out, then from their backs, their descendants, and from their backs, like that. That's why it's in the plural. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam.
هل
تقول شفاعة لأهل الكبائر في النار؟ نعم لا شك الشفاعة في أهل الكبائر للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وللأنبياء وللصالحين وغيرهم إلى الملائكة كحديث الشفاعة. نعم أي نعم. That the intercession with regard to the people who committed major sins, this intercession is not particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we had actually stated in the hadith. The long hadith of the intercession, where it's actually mentioned that the stage by stage, who has interceded? The angels have interceded, and the prophets have interceded. It's mentioned. So that intercession with regard to the people of Tawheed who committed major sins and were entered into the hellfire, that intercession is not just restricted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Indeed, in the long hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, in al-Bukhari and Muslim, the famous hadith of intercession, it actually states there that some of the people of paradise, that they will recognize some of their brothers in the fire, and they'll say, oh our Lord, our brothers, they used to pray along with us and fast along with us. So then the command will be given, take them out from the fire. So in other words, the people, as brother indicated, the people of paradise, from the believers, they will intercede with regard to people of Tawheed whom they recognize in the fire. And something the people of knowledge point out, that the people of Tawheed, when they themselves are saved on the day of resurrection, obviously before that they're saved and enter into paradise, then they worry about themselves. But as soon as the people of Tawheed are saved themselves, then straight away they will worry about their brothers, those who are in the fire. They'll worry about the other people of Tawheed, those who are in the fire. They'll have concern for them and they'll intercede for them, as was indicated by that same hadith, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. أي لأن هذا الشفاعة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أولا له ثم لغيره. ويقولون أن كل نوع يعني للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولغيره فشفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم يعني من شفاعة غيره، ولكنه لا يختص به. That the intercession of the Prophet, the people of knowledge point out and mention that as for those intercessions which are not particular to the Prophet ﷺ, which are for him and for others besides him, then his intercession in that regard is the greatest intercession. And the intercession of the rest of the people is less than his intercession. But it's not, it's just the fact that it's not particular to the Prophet ﷺ. له أشد بياضا من الثلج. Whiter than snow. That's the one. That's the one over here. The wording I was quoting was from, directly from Sahih Muslim. Yeah. Allah. 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 But the wording in Muslim is that. Allah. Unless it's a different version, I don't know. But the version I quoted was direct from Muslim. I'll check it, inshallah. But.
Germany. Could be a different narration.
The brother just asking, there's a narration about the water of the Hawd. It's quoting one narration Ibn Abil Iz brings, where it mentions Abrad, its water will be Abrad min al-thalj, colder than snow. As I said, the narration I quoted was some Sahih Muslim, narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which mentions whiter, not colder. So it must be a different narration. Wallahu a'lam. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.